Hello, this is Rob Pearman. My guest in the studio today is Melvin Teer, who is chairman of the trustees of a local organisation called Computer Friendly. Welcome.
Thank you.
Melvin, just tell us, first of all, what is Computer Friendly?
Computer Friendly is a voluntary organisation. We've been around for about 12 years, and we operate within St Albans City and District, and we deliver computer training to those people who wish to either learn how to use computers or go onto the internet or use email.
Presumably, almost by definition, you're dealing mostly with older people because most kids coming out of school can use a computer.
Our average age range is probably from around about 50 through to our oldest person that we've trained is 95.
And these people are coming to you because they missed somewhere down the road, they missed out on the opportunity. I mean, schools perhaps that long ago didn't teach computing skills as they are almost obliged to now. And so they're coming to you, what, because they want to use email or they want to get onto the internet?
Today we created a situation in country within our local locality where if you want to actually access public information or if you want to undertake some transactions or if the certain things you wish to purchase or if you wanted to watch a BBC TV programme again, then you need to know how to use the internet. And for a good number of people, those particular skills are lacking. Access to the internet is difficult for them. And we were brought into existence in order to help people cope with the demands of life today.
So somebody must have had the idea, somebody must have had the vision, and there's somebody who perhaps was later in life and his or herself didn't actually know how to use a computer? Where's the origin of this?
The origin for us locally actually came with Peggy Hughes. Peggy was a previous councillor and alderman, past mayor, but she also was chief executive of CVS, the Council for Voluntary Services locally. And she had the idea back in, must have been around about 2002, that working with the National Health Service and with Oaklands College, as well as the District Council, the notion was to actually set up an internet cafe and for this cafe to operate where people could come in and learn how to use computers, learn how to access the internet, learn how to use email. And it was also directed at client groups within the National Health Service who were disadvantaged and so were able to assist. And Peggy organised this and got it off the ground.
And it's a voluntary organisation. Are you still operating out of a cafe?
No, we're pretty nomadic nowadays. We established a cafe back in 2002-2003 at the old chapel within the Waverley Road hospital site. And with Oaklands College help, we put in there about 20 desktop computers and established this cafe. And the chapel itself was actually owned and set up for us by a local housing association. And they gave it to us rent-free for the first year. But in our second year of operation, it was deemed that we should pay a rent. And we discovered that the actual amount of rent being asked of us meant that we had to very quickly rethink the whole of our business plan and notion. I became chairman of the trustees shortly after that. Sadly, Peggy passed away. She died, and I knew Peggy quite well from my days as city centre manager in St Albans, and I worked with her in helping to establish the charity, and I volunteered and took over as chairman around about 2004-05, and I've been chairman ever since, and since then we've grown in different ways.
But you're not in the chapel anymore, not in the cafe in the chapel. You're, what, in somewhere else in St Albans?
Yes, what happened was that we moved into the library service, and we worked closely with the library service at the Maltings. We were given an opportunity by the county council to open up a couple of centres at Fleetville Library and Cunningham Library. And when we set those up, we got everything up and running. And suddenly, somebody in their wisdom at the county council decided to close both libraries. And so we thought, hang on a second, there's something associated with property that seems to jinx our organisation. So we decided that we would go pretty nomadic. And so we started to operate out of school, computer centres. And now we're actually based at Fleetville Community Centre. We're also based at Harpenden Indoor Bowl Centre, Marlborough School, the Union Learning Centre down in Liverpool Road. So anywhere where we can find a place where we can take half a dozen laptops and put in a volunteer tutor, then we're able to run a course.
How do people know where to find you? If you're nomadic, how can one, I mean, you know, here I'm, you know, a man of a certain age. I've never learnt to use a computer. Not true, but let's pretend I haven't. I hear about you. Where do I find you? How do I find you? If I can't go on the internet?
No, you can't go on the internet. And that's one of the key things. A number of volunteer administrators who operate a phone system. And so we have a telephone number, and you can contact us by that telephone number. We have a drop-in every Monday at Fleetville Community Centre from 10 until 3, so you can call in there. We produced a comprehensive leaflet, which we've put out into community centres, libraries, tourist information centre, district council, doctors' surgeries, and other places. We regularly advertise in the Hearts Advertiser. So we take a half page out in the Hearts Advertiser. We run a timetable of courses 6 times a year. And so we advertise the timetable. So 6 times a year, we've got adverts in the local papers. We dependent very much on word of mouth as well. And we are on our database now. We have 2,500 people who have used us. Over the course of the last 10 years, we've probably trained up around about 600 people locally each year in computer for beginners or internet and email. And so we've built up quite a good reputation and a good number of people who know about the service that we offer.
So it's at all sorts of levels. You can come in with absolutely no knowledge of computers, no understanding, never seen a keyboard before, or you could come in at a higher level. Do you have a range of courses?
We have a range of courses. The range starts with a one-on-one, a couple of hours where we'll introduce you to a computer, introduce you to the mouse, to the keyboard, and show you and get you to have a go. And then from that initial assessment kind of questionnaire, we'll identify with you what it is that you want to be able to do. Do you want to shop online? Do you want to be able to communicate with your relatives who are at a distance in Australia or New Zealand? Do you want to surf the net? Do you want to watch iPlayer and things like that? So we'll discover with you just exactly what it is. And if you don't know, then there's no worry, because what we'll do is then put you onto one of our introductory courses, Computer for Beginners, and over a course of 5 weeks, 2 hours a week, we'll teach you how to use a computer, and then discover with you how to use the internet, and from that, how to use email, how to go online, to do a bit of shopping online, and just really take you through a whole series of things. We're very friendly, and that's in the title. We are computer friendly. We pace ourselves at the pace of our learners. We're all volunteers. There's about 30 of us. We enjoy doing what we do because we're very keen to see people be able to get onto the internet or to be able to use a laptop.
And if I come to you, therefore, I'll get a diagnostic session first, which will work out what are my interests, where I am at. Am I going to have to pay for this?
For the first steps, that diagnostic introduction, the drop-in at Fleetville, and we've got a new drop-in that we're going to start in Harpenden in the middle of September at Skew Bridge Public House. They're all free. For computer for beginners, internet and email, then we charge you £10.
What's the
for the 5 week course?
Okay.
And for the booklet and for the support and guidance. Other courses that we offer run as 2 hour sessions. They could be a 4 2 hour sessions or 5 6 2 hour sessions, dependent upon the topic. And we usually charge £8 for each session. So it could be £32, £40, or £40. But if the person can't afford that, then we'll charge you £10. We don't pay anybody now to run the charity or to do things. It's all run entirely by volunteers. The actual total cost of running the charity in any 1 year is around about £20,000. We raise that money either through fundraising and asking for grants and support from county councillors or from district council or from the Heritage Lottery Fund. That's usually funds about 50% of our money. The other money comes through from asking people to pay or to make a donation. And there are have been some very good donators in the past.
Sure. If I'm working in the daytime, can I do this course in the evening? If I don't like going out in the evening because I'm older, or I don't like the dark or whatever, can I do it during the day? How flexible is it?
The timetable that we operate runs around about 10 courses. The majority of the courses that we run are during the daytime on different days of the week and in different locations. And we try and vary the time to timetables within a term kind of thing. So the September timetable at the moment has got about 10 courses on it, and they're either morning, afternoon. There are one or two that we run in the evening, but we find the majority of our clientele prefers to come out during the daytime. We do some work with people who wish to return to work, Word course or Excel or PowerPoint, and those we do run in an evening. And we have a tendency to run the same courses, but at different times and different locations in the following timetable. So hopefully we're flexible enough to match in with people's holidays and their availability.
Okay, so the best way for somebody to find out is to know what the telephone number is, which is on the leaflets and it's all over the place, and to call and arrange to just... Do you need to arrange to drop in, or can you just drop in?
With the drop-ins, you can just drop in. And we've got a team of volunteers, and they will listen to what it is that you want to do, and they will guide you on that. And they do deal with either some very simple questions, sometimes some very complex ones. People bring a laptop along and say, look, I'm having difficulty accessing this particular program, or this software doesn't seem to be working right. And the guys there are usually very good at sorting things out. So, yeah,
that's not the primary end. The idea of somebody bringing along the computer saying, I don't understand what's happening here, that's not your primary aim. That's almost like substitute for a computer shop, as it were, if you do it.
There are one or two things that we are able to deal with. We have volunteers who have got those particular skills. If they identify through a diagnostic that they're unable to deal with it, then we usually direct you to one of the computer shops or one of the organisations locally, and we have good relationships with all of those organisations.
You mentioned James, and perhaps we can switch here, because as you know, James is one of not only one of our Talking Newspaper listeners, but is also a listener representative and is on our committee. So he's very much involved. And am I right in saying that he's working primarily with people with visual impairment?
He works with people with visual impairment. He's been our volunteer for a good number of years on both the Monday drop-in, but also he undertakes first step assessments and also does some training himself. He has an iPad, and so he's able to teach people how to use the various apps and facilities on an iPad. He also has software on a laptop, such as Dolphin produced or Supernova software. So he's able to show people how, who have got visual impairment, how to access and use a particular laptop.
And I mean, in simple terms, Dolphin and Nova are programs that turn the visual into a voice, is that right?
Yes.
So what do you call it? Voice-assisted computing, is that what
it's something along those particular lines, yes. And so it helps. iPad, for example, has got that kind of facility built in with their some of the applications which come as standard from Apple. But not everybody knows that. And so what we've discovered is that through James and through one or two of our other volunteers, we're able to help visually impaired people access their particular equipment.
Is there a huge cost related to helping a visually impaired person to use that's an app which is available, as it were? Is there a lot of cost for them? I mean, it's not thousands of pounds to get into computing if you're visually impaired.
No, the service that we provide is free, but if someone has decided to go down the route of purchasing an iPad, then they're able to access those apps, as I understand it, for free.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
And that will enable, I mean, basically those programs are designed so that you can go onto the internet, even if you can't see the screen, as it were, at all, and knowing where to go on the screen, it will then convert the images and the text into an audio
And people have found that that is very beneficial for them. Some people have found that that is probably too difficult and prefer to go down the laptop route and use a piece of software on the laptop. But the whole idea is to try and encourage as many people as possible to access these applications and facilities which are available.
Which, of course, is magic because it breaks the isolation that can come with being excluded from so many of the new media.
Yes.
Presumably you could go to Facebook.
Yeah, you could Facebook you can Skype,
yeah.
FaceTime on iPad. So you can actually communicate well with many people. When I first trained a lady who was in her 90s to actually use Skype, suddenly discovered that she was able to talk with her great-grandchildren on a daily basis who were on the other side of the world. Knowing that she would probably never see them again, but at least she had that opportunity of being part and parcel of their life.
Okay, so Melvin, looking back over 10 years, what would you say were the lessons that you've learned? What have you come across? What have you discovered?
I think what we've discovered is that are in a community, there can be particular issues that people have. I would categorise them in three ways. There are people who are lonely, people who suffer from boredom, and people who are helpless. And this kind of helplessness, boredom and loneliness can actually be discovered in many individuals. And it's not something which is associated with the old. It could be equally associated with young people. And I think what we are trying to do as an organisation and as within the local community and local society is to think of ways in which we can overcome loneliness by allowing people to be able to get in touch with each other, boredom by being able to discover your family history, being able to sell things online through eBay, being able to use a digital camera through digital photography, and helplessness. I gave a talk recently to the Women's Institute. We discovered at a drop-in that we were starting to get quite a number of recently singled people coming along and saying, my partner has recently passed away and I need some help because I don't know the passwords to the bank account or to the computer. And we discovered that the kind of digital history or the digital information associated with running the house and living is all captured in this laptop, which I'm unable to access. Help! And, that is really, if you want to be independent these days, then even in a partnership of a married couple, then you've got to share that independence. And there's no point in one dominant partner saying, it's all right, I'm looking after everything. But sadly, that dominant partner could pass away in the course of the next few minutes. And the person left behind can't access the bank account, doesn't know how to do particular things. And so, yes, loneliness, boredom, helplessness are probably the three issues. And that last one of helplessness, I think, is something that we all need to be a little bit more aware of.
So obviously, Sir Melvin, the critical thing is people getting in contact with you. And we said before, it's a telephone number, which you need to give us.
The number is 020-3239-1559. That's 020-3239-1559. And I must explain that this is a local rate number. It's actually a Skype number. And because we have volunteer administrators based around the district, we're able to use Skype as our contact. But it is local rate. So if you're dialing from a landline or a mobile, then it is relatively inexpensive to be able to contact us. We man that on a Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday morning, but there is an answer phone at other times. And so if you're able just to leave a short message with your telephone number, although using Skype it does capture the telephone number that has been dialed, we'll get back to you and then we can talk things through with you. Normally we would come back to you either on that number or on a St. Albans number, but usually we use a St. Albans number because we have discovered that many people have got devices on their telephones which seem to block out our 020 number because it is viewed as being international.
Thank you very much, Melbourne. I hope that the organisation continues to grow and that you continue to reach out across the whole of the district, which, of course, is what you're doing already.
Thank you very much indeed.